I have my guest today is Bridget O'Reilly, Quigley O'Reilly.
Yeah? No, Bridget Quigley O'Brien.
O'Brien, sorry. I don't know why I say O'Reilly. It's terrible. Okay. And anyway, Bridget, we'll call you Bridget.
Yes,
it's easy.
That's, good name.
Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Lakshmi.
Thank you for coming to our
and
program.
And thank you for inviting me to talk about polio, which I'm really happy to do.
Yes. Now, I was just asking you before, how I should introduce you. You are a polio survivor, which is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And also you are a mother, and I'm sure you have other things that you do besides.
Well, I'm very involved with the polio support group.
Yes.
And I'm so delighted that I did get involved with it, because it has kept me in touch with people who are similar to myself.
Mm.
And who I have grown up with in various hospitals when I was a child, and it's just great. And
actually, people don't realize that polio is for life, isn't it?
Polio is for life.
Yes.
Now, some people are affected more than others.
Yes.
Now, myself, I have crutches and a limp, but other people are in wheelchairs and much more. You know, it affects people different ways. But I'm lucky, really. You know, that I'm not in a wheelchair, but a lot of my friends are.
Yes.
And we have this thing called now post-polio syndrome, which affects people, and it has affected me, and I kept denying it didn't affect me, but it has affected me.
It's called PPS.
Post-polio syndrome.
Yes.
And people, especially doctors and the medical profession, kind of pushed it aside and said, oh no, this doesn't happen. But it is happening, and it has happened. Yes. And I know myself from my own experience.
Is it because when you probably had polio as a child, you were saying 11 months?
I got polio when I was 11 months old.
Honestly.
Yeah. The youngest of six in a family.
Yeah.
And when I got the polio, my mother didn't know what was up with me.
Yes.
So she got the doctor, and I was sent off to Balldoyle Hospital, St. Mary's. And I spent 7 years there in Balldoyle, getting physiotherapy and, you know.
Did you live in the hospital?
Yeah, I lived in the hospital for seven years. Yeah.
I mean, how did you ever go home?
I didn't go home that time, no. And
so for 7 years you were in hospital?
Yes, yeah.
Never went home?
No.
And how did you, as a child, so you were 7 years,
yeah.
From 11 months, is from a baby,
to be honest, Lakshmi, it didn't really affect me that much because I didn't know any better, so therefore it wasn't a big deal.
You didn't know, you thought it was normal.
Normal.
This is the way it was,
Yeah.
But do you remember when you first thought about, you know, about your...
When I had my communion in Balldoyle Hospital,
yes,
very early in the morning with three or four of the girls, and I still know the girls, and after my communion, let's say a month or so afterwards,
yes,
I was transferred to Kappa Hospital.
Yes.
Without any notice to my parents or anything.
Yes.
And I was in Kappa Hospital on and off till I was 16. And then I got operations there and physio and... you know, general sort of rehabilitation.
Yes.
So.
But obviously your family came to visit you.
My family came once a year. Once a year.
Once a year?
Yes, once a year.
Why was that?
Because I lived in the country and our family wasn't very, you know, cars or anything like that. Them days, I suppose.
Yes.
People didn't. It was strange, really, you know, when the nun would say, "Your mommy and daddy are coming, Bridget." And I was terrified because I didn't know these people.
Mm.
But, and I was, my mother was a lot older when she had me, see, so I always viewed her as maybe an old woman, you know. It wasn't a mammy thing, you know.
Yes.
But.
Who did the mammy thing?
My aunt, who lived in Rahini, she was a priest housekeeper, and she, in fact, really was my mammy.
Yeah.
And
so she came didn't have children, so...
No.
Yeah.
And she came up to see me every fortnight, every Wednesday.
Mm.
And, you know, I was okay, you know. Okay, I worried, I wondered about my mum and dad, and, you know, you read comics. When I used to read lots of comics when I was a kid. And I'd be seeing, oh, this lovely mammy and daddy. And I wonder if I got a mammy and daddy like that, you know. But...
did you go to school? Was there any school?
There was a school in Balldoyle. It wasn't bad school as far as I can remember. But I did learn to read and write.
Yes.
And I was always a curious child anyway. So I loved reading and drawing and You know, I was...
Did you have a room for yourself?
No. We were in a big, long dormitory kind of a room. Mm. It's like a everything was regimental, you know. Mm. But...
Well, you didn't know anything else.
I didn't know anything else. And yes. I had lots of friends, you know.
Yes. You had, you know, you had other children.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Now, it was very strict, you know. The nuns were very strict.
Yes.
And you had to do what you're told. And you could be cheeky, too. I could be cheeky.
Were you cheeky?
Mm-hmm. I was. And they'd put you to bed for a week.
A week? Without,
yeah, and you'd be in the bed for a week because we were all let run around and that. And that was really bad. But,
did you have special friends?
Oh, yeah, and I still have them. I still have my friends, yeah. Right. Yeah. And it wasn't... it's only when I look back now and, you know, as I get older.
Yes.
I realise, my God, did I really go through this? Mm. Did I really have this experience?
Mm.
You know, things were different then.
When did you realise that?
I suppose when I went home first to my family when I was about 9 and a half. And I went home to my family in the country. And they put me on the in the ambulance with lots of other people in the ambulance. And they were all being dropped off, you know, at various houses. And I said, when am I going home? Where's my house? And next I was stopped outside this farmhouse. And they let me out of the ambulance and... my God, I was in mad in the country, really, really, you know, isolated.
Yes,
and
yes.
I saw
after
this.
After all, you were surrounded by other children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Giving this special attention, whatever it was.
Exactly.
And
So I got out of the ambulance
with
my little suitcase. So it's like a lovely picture.
Mm.
But and this woman came up along on the path and she had two buckets of water in her hand and she had a polka dot apron on her. And I said, this must be my mammy. So, and she kind of dropped the buckets. I don't think she realised I was coming home.
Mm. She wasn't told before.
No, I don't think so. And she didn't know what to do. So my mother didn't hug or kiss or do things like that. But anyway, she brought me into the kitchen, a little farmhouse kitchen. And it was really low ceilings. And suddenly I got claustrophobia. Oh, my God. And there was hens going around on the floor. And
I want completely different picture.
Yeah, I want to go home. I want to go home. I wouldn't eat anything. And as I was sitting there gradually through the day, my brothers and sisters started coming in because they were all older than me. One of my sisters was actually in England training to be a nurse, so I never met her. My other sister was working in Dundalk in a shop, and my three brothers then were at schools, various stages of secondary school.
Yeah.
So it was all kind of meeting them all. So it took me a long time. So I was let home for 6 months to settle in. I didn't go to school that time. But I was able to read and write, and my mother helped me a bit with the reading and writing. So it kind of gradually went from there, and then I went back to the hospital, stayed another year or so in the hospital. It was like that.
Did you have to go to the hospital on and off?
Yeah.
And why did you do that?
Because they were doing operations and they were keeping track.
And
I loved going back to the hospital, really, because I could meet all my other friends again.
Right.
You know?
You look forward to it.
Yeah.
From it sounds like, you know, you were isolated in the countryside.
Yes.
Nobody, I wonder, they never thought about the psychological impact, isn't it?
No. I got myself lost in books.
Right.
Only for I was a good reader.
Mm.
I don't think I could have coped.
And did you get on with your mum?
So.
It's hard to make
Because my mother was 55 when I came home to her. And I was nine, ten. You know, that's a big gap, you know, when you're not...
And what about your
dad? Yeah, my dad, he was a farmer. Now, he was a lovely man, my dad. Very gentle kind of a person, but not a daddy type, you know. But I coped, you know, we coped. They got to know me and I was a bit fussy. I wouldn't eat things.
Because
I was in shock, really, when I think of it.
It was, yes.
And there was no electricity in the house or water or anything.
Right.
And you're after coming out of a hospital and suddenly you land as, oh, my God, there's no water, no toilet.
Right.
It was a bit. I cried. I did cry.
Yes. Did you go and talk about this later on?
I never really spoke to my mother and father about it. No.
Did you get a chance to speak about it?
Well, as I got older, then I spoke to my sister about it, my two sisters, but not deep, you know. But I have a sort of a little history that I've written myself of it all. So I have it all written down for my two sons.
You wrote it for yourself.
Yes.
So when you were at home, and did you go to school from there?
Yes, when I came home the second time, I went to the local local primary school.
Yes.
Oh, that was hell. Because I was the only one with a splint, and everybody was looking at me, and I felt really didn't like it at all. And nobody would play with me in the yard. It sounds like a sad story, but nobody wanted to play with me. Now my younger brother was there, and he kind of looked after me a bit, you know, but he wanted to be with his pals.
Yes.
But anyway, I got through all that, and they sort of checked out what stage I was at. And I was lucky that it was okay, you know. So, but I did miss a lot of my education. Now I did,
and you read a lot. I did.
See, I always was very curious, and I read books. Like I read all the Dickens, Charles Dickens. I must have read Charles Dickens, Oliver Twist, about 6 times, because it was a lovely story, sad but nice. Let's see, and I got into art. You see, I was mad into drawing and painting and
so
all that.
So you can paint?
Yeah.
You draw?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're an artist.
Well, I don't know about an artist, but that I did enjoy that.
Yes.
And sing a bit.
You sing?
The nun used to get me to sing in the hospital if a visitor came in. So
you had a very quite a rich life in spite of you being away from your family.
I had a sort of a mixture of all personalities, you know.
Yes.
And like,
but I suppose suddenly to go to a house with you know, quiet house with no
animals around and everything.
It was difficult.
For a child,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yes. Yeah, to adjust to it all, you know.
Yes.
And I even remember the dog Prince. Now, and I love dogs. And I was terrified of the dog, and I was terrified of the hens. But
it was a complete change of picture.
Yeah.
And I wonder, do people realize this now? When a child gets there are symptoms.
Yeah.
There are psychological effects and the impact of, being different.
Oh, being different, absolutely. You know, I always felt shy at school and that. But then as I grew up into a teenager, I was sort of, I wasn't bad looking, but I had no problem getting fellas at the dances or anything.
Right, tell us about that.
I used to go dance in the local dances, and I hadn't got my crutches that time, but I was able to do the little shake and all that. So the fellas would come up and, "Would you like to dance?" And I'd say, "Yeah." And then I'd get up to dance, and then they'd say, "Oh, are you sure?" You know, and I'd say, "Yeah." Off I'd go. And then to be on the floor, and then to be asking me questions, and what happened to you? And I didn't want to say polio, because if you said that, you'd think it was a disease, and you know, I just
contagious
fell off.
Disease.
Yeah. And I said, I fell off a horse, and you know, I'm getting over it now, and all this, you know. And then they'd go on asking the question about the horse, and I began.
So you had a new narrative.
Yeah.
Well, people didn't know much about polio. Even now they've kind of forgotten about
it
because they think it's eradicated. I was reading something on it. I was doing research before you came.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary. There are 7,000 survivors of polio in Ireland. And they need support all through their life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as you get older, you know, as we're getting older now, we need support.
And what kind of support do you need?
Well, myself now, for instance, I need a splint now. I'm trying to get a splint that's perfect for you. It's very hard to do. To get support as regards house help, you know, in the house.
Yes.
Maybe someone come in maybe once an hour in the day and help you with your laundry or something. Little things like that.
Do you need more support now than when you were younger?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
what was the difference? Does it affect you more now?
Oh, yeah. 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 At home now, yeah. Now,
as you're older?
When I do my housework at work, I do most of my housework, like washing the floor and sweeping the floor. I sit on the floor and I get the Hoover. And I hoover my house like that because I can't stand up on one and a half legs because I'd fall probably. Mm. I have a chair lift now, which is brilliant. Mm. I can go up and down stairs. I do everything the same, but I do it slower.
Yes. As you grow older, the muscles...
It
gets more...
Mm-hmm. And I go to the gym maybe two or three times a week and I try and keep fit that way. And I use the machines that I can use, you know.
Right.
But polio, the polio support group has been absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
And I just want to emphasise that if there is people out there with polio and don't know anything about us, please register with our group. You know, because it's great fun, and we go on social outings, and you meet lots of people who are similar to yourself, and you just realise, there is other people out there.
Yes,
you know, and you get a little bit more gist to live. I'm not going to sit here, you know. I'm going off today, you know.
Yeah, you look like a woman with gist.
Oh, do I? Well, I motivate myself, really, because there's no point sitting in and feeling sorry for yourself. Yes, no, I get out there and I can do it. Okay. And I have, as I say, loads of friends. Mm. And we have our conference coming up now on Thursday. Mm. So I'll be meeting lots of friends there. And that's in Cork this year.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting. And I always look forward to it. So
I'm quite interested. Do you get any psychological help? Because some people suffer from depression.
Oh yes. Oh, I've had my days. Now I can tell you. But
is it on and off, or is it? Did you have it?
I think I was depressed as a child.
Mm.
It's only now I think about it and look back. I think I was. Yeah, because I was always a very wouldn't say quiet, but I would withdraw into myself. Mm. Yeah, I would.
Mm. Well, I suppose you didn't realise it.
Yeah, I didn't realise.
It wasn't a label. I wonder whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, really.
Maybe, there's a saying, isn't there? At least a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, isn't it?
Yes.
But I was a happy kid now, really, you know.
Yeah.
But I do find it difficult now at some days, you know.
You have children of your own.
Pardon?
You have children of your own.
Oh, I have. I have two men now, two boys, Brian and David, and they're doing very well.
Mm.
And Brian lives in Westport with his wife and two kids. Mm. And David lives in Coolock, and he has his own place and working hard. Mm. And my husband, ex-husband John, he's retired now, but we're very good friends, you know.
Good.
We are. We keep in touch.
Mm.
And I've lots of friends, of course, male and female.
Mm.
And it's, you know, life's good.
And did you find it difficult to bring up children when you... How did you cope with that?
Well, you know, I often wonder that myself.
Mm.
Because when I was bringing up the lads, I had them when I was young anyway, and I didn't have crutches at the time.
Mm.
But I brought them up normal and everything, yeah. Mm. Yeah, of course, they did get slagged at school. What happened to your mammy's leg and all this? And I'd say, just tell them I had an accident.
You know. Do you think people need to know more about polio?
Oh, absolutely.
It's been very quiet now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if people say to me, what happened to you? They always think I had a hip replacement. I said, no, I've had polio.
Mm.
Oh, polio.
Mm.
I thought polio was gone. I said, no, polio isn't gone, really.
Mm.
There's lots of people have polio still.
Yes. Yeah. And there are new people coming in. Just reading this. Just see has people from outside.
And any people who are coming into the country, it's important that they register with our polio group, because we can help them, you know.
Yes.
And the head office now is in Capel Street.
Yes.
St. Mary's.
Could you tell us the address?
It's Capel Buildings, Mary Street.
Yes.
And just there on Capel Street.
And do you have a phone number?
I can give you my phone number, if anybody wants to. It's 083-64-24-290.
And I remember that there was some controversy about your funding.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. Well, now, the rehab and polio fellowship.
Yes.
In the 50s, there was a group of polio survivors, let's say, who set up this house in Stillorgan called Park House for people with polio and to try and help them and get jobs and, you know, general support. So that went down nicely for a few years, and then rehab came into being, and they decided they would help with the polio fellowship and put funds forward to them. So they amalgamated. But polio still owned the building because it was paid for by people, fundraising, polio people. But rehab, I hope I'm getting this right now, rehab did help fund it, you know, for a while and that, with the help of polio as
well. They collect funds for all disabilities.
Yeah, yeah. And now it seems that rehab will not be able to fund us anymore. So it's kind of an ongoing thing at the moment. I don't know what the result is, but we have protested, a few of us from the group, about it. So we're hoping
so you need funding now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need to keep it going. I need to, you know.
Yes, it's to go on with the polio survivors. Mm-mm. You changed your name from polio...
polio survivors. We used to be called post-polio survivors, but we decided we'd make it short.
Yes.
Polio survivors.
Yes, and also it's interesting to say survivors. Yeah. It's what do you, I mean, people with polio thought. I think it's important to ask people who are survivors what they want rather than what is being given to them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's important that. But it's not that we want a lot, really. Yes, we just want a bit of support, more support.
Yes.
And another thing, we should have our medical cards. I'm very, very annoyed about that.